Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello, and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and today we're going to be learning more about downtown Racine, and particularly the Downtown Racine Corporation and what they do for the community in bringing people into the downtown and helping to develop the downtown. We're talking today with the Executive Director of the Downtown Racine Corporation, Kelly Cruz. Welcome to our program today, Kelly.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So I think people might think they know what you are all about, but if you can give us just a very brief overview of what the Downtown Racine Corporation is all about.
Sure. So we are a nonprofit organization. We are the only organization in the community that is 100% focused on the downtown area. So we manage the day-to-day economic development efforts, improve the aesthetics, the beautification, certainly the marketing of downtown to tourists and to residents. And then what most people do know us for is obviously programming events. So it's all encompassing, but at the end of the day, our goal is to have a thriving downtown.
And tell me a little bit about the history. This isn't a brand new corporation. It's been around for what, 20, 30 years?
Yeah, I think we're in about mid the 20 some years now. The organization was started by the Johnson family when they moved their headquarters to downtown Racine. Sam Johnson had a clear vision of that. Now that we're here, how do we make our downtown something special? You know, a lot of people know that he was very adamant about having the building in the heart of downtown, where there were many other locations he could have chosen throughout the Racine County, but he really felt strongly in that. So with that became the development of the Downtown Racine Corporation. Again, you know, what our mission, you know, is again, just make sure our downtown is thriving, make sure we're supporting our merchants, make sure we're letting the community know about our downtown. And then, so that was in about 20 some years ago. And then in 2002, the BID district was formed for the downtown. The Business Improvement District number one was also formed. So we work cohesively with them. I'm also the BID manager as well as the director for the Downtown Racine Corporation. And that is basically a self-imposed tax on building owners in the downtown. And then those funds are used solely to increase property values. So again, the beautification, street cleaning, supporting anything that the DRC does. So it's really two organizations that work hand in hand together to do all of this. There's a lot that we do that I think people just assume just happens, right? You know, you
right.
See the downtown light up at this holiday season. That's a great example, as nobody recognizes the work that goes into finding that holiday tree, paying for it to get decorated, working with the community to actually place it there, you know, move a giant tree, and you know, all the lights that go up, the seasonal banners, all of those things are things that we handle. And so that's just, you know, one of many, but that's a great example, because I think in the holiday season, we sometimes forget, you know, all of that work that goes into the 12 block area to beautify it.
And I definitely want to talk into great detail about a lot of these types of things that you do that just happen, but of course don't just happen. But going back to the formation of the BID district, can you kind of go back and explain exactly what that means? Maybe use an example of XYZ business and what happens in terms of tax and what kind of representation then they have with your organization?
Sure. So anybody who owns property in the downtown area pays into the Business Improvement District. Now, the City of Racine actually has three bid districts. The downtown bid was first formed, and then what followed was there's a uptown bid and a Douglas Avenue bid, just to put that in context. And these are clearly defined borders. I have to adhere to, you know, board meetings, complete transparency. Everything is submitted through the city, just like any other, you know, public meeting. And some of the benefits of those, again, at the end of the day, it was formed to increase those property taxes. So people who own buildings downtown know that their property is going to hopefully rise in value, as we've seen lately, you know. But then there were some times, this was formed when downtown sort of had a downward streak. So then things like, you know, the cement flower pots that you see that are placed throughout downtown, that was a bid investment. And then putting flowers in those every year. So beautifying. We have public service ambassadors that work in the summer, and they are there just to basically help out with events, help when they see visitors that have questions. They're really they're our ambassadors for our downtown. We've added downtown security, private security on Fridays and Saturday evenings. So that's a nice benefit for all. As you can see, a lot of building owners would reap the benefits of that. I mean, we do sidewalk cleanup. We pick up trash, but we also actually have a sweeper. We do graffiti removal. So if a building owner calls and says, somebody graffitied my building, you know, we go over there and do our best or repaint over it.
I'm going to stop you there, Kelly, because you're giving me a big surprise, and I want to make sure that people are hearing this, because I think most people think they're going to call City Public Works, and City Public Works will come out and remove graffiti or pick up trash that had been spewed all over the road. So you're saying that you really handle a lot of that.
Yes, yes. So that's one reason why people might drive through downtown and say, why is it so much cleaner than other areas? Is the city spending more time and energy? Actually, they're really not. This is all, again, what those bid dollars go towards. So yeah, we've got a great relationship with all of the building owners. They're informed of all meetings. They're notified of the budget. Every year I do a presentation where they're all invited to come look at exactly what our accomplishments were with those funds. So for example, right now the bid is around $2 per $1,000 in property, assessed property is what they're paying. So also with that is the marketing of downtown. So we're able to, you know, target Northern Illinois, Milwaukee, even our own residents here to actually bring people downtown, because you can have the most gorgeous downtown, which I think we do with all of our architecture and the lake. And but if we don't get people down here, it's all for nothing, right? I mean, we've really got to, you know, you build it and they will come. No, you have to tell them to come. That's actually another real important part of that. So yeah, the bid is, it's great. And it's also great that these boards work hand in hand together, again, just to try to raise each other up, because it's really, the mission is the same.
Well, you're in charge of both the bid and Downtown Racine Corporation, but are there two separate boards then that you're working with?
Yes, absolutely. So I serve two different boards. So the Downtown Racine Corporation board, since we are a private nonprofit company, those meetings and things are not open to the public, but the bid meetings always are. So anyone who'd like to ever attend one or sit in on one are always welcome. And they can find those, that information on our website or through the City of Racine.
So what do they do that's different from one another? Just trying to understand. So I know bid is basically collecting the money and managing the budget, but is it more likely for the bid board and your position to do cleanup that you were just describing, the graffiti removal, blah, blah, and then Downtown Racine Corporation, what would be their role relationship to that?
Well, there is some overlapping, but again, I sort of mentioned some of those tangible items that you see, the holiday decorations, the street cleanup, the flowers, specific marketing of downtown, graffiti removal, having ambassadors. So those are specific to the bid. And so I obviously okay. I have two completely separate budgets. So one that is part of bid funding through property owners, and then the Downtown Racine Corporation. We are a private nonprofit. So my role as the director there is not only, again, as the bid manager, implementing the budget for the bid and doing all of those, but, you know, we put on over 65 programmed dates per year. So that's actually even more than 100 events, but 65 of the 365 days a year, there is an event going on in downtown. And the Downtown Racine Corporation does that. In addition, we work with the actual businesses or support. We have a merchant resource guide. We can talk a little bit about letting them know about grant opportunities, communication with the merchants. We're really like their support system. They need anything, they're going to say, call Kelly. And that's always the first step. So we implement those events. We have a strategic plan and that I implement through the DRC. And, you know, those things are communication with the city, certain marketing goals, certain number of event goals, certain goals related to how are we supporting our merchants. So it's all encompassing.
Now, I recognize that the funding is not public funding. So, you know, feel free to answer this question any way you feel comfortable doing so. But where is the money coming from to fund the private nonprofit Racine Development Corporation?
Sure. So we have our budget comes from a multitude of sources. We have over 200 members. So most of the merchants downtown, we have our actual DRC members, where they pay a fee of $250 per year to kind of reap the benefits, be a part of things like the wine walk, where we only have a limited number of people, or candy crawls and all of these things, which we can talk events. Mm-hmm. Here. So we've Definitely. Got membership. We also have corporate membership. So, you know, the bigger companies in town really step up, and, you know, SCJ, Johnson Financial, Twin Disc, you know, all of them also pay a corporate membership fee annually. Wonderful. So we've got quite a few of those. Our events are also, we have to make sure those are profitable. So as you know, I stated, we have 65 events, but doing things like the seltzer strolls, the wine walks, the beer and bacon walks, ladies night out, you know, some of these ticketed events are definitely revenue generators. And then also a lot of sponsorships. So if you'll notice with all of our events, it really does take all of this community to come together to put them on. So we have great sponsors throughout the community. And then grants, some grants, that's not a huge portion of our budget, actually. But yeah, so all of those come together. And
wow.
Yeah.
You have a big job, Kelly. So let's talk more about events, because, of course, they keep coming up. And that's probably from the outside what you're most known for, because we, no matter where you live around the region, you probably have attended one of those. I will admit to the wine walk several times. Love it. So 65, you said, days a year. You have events going on?
Yes. 65 dates per year. So we call those programmed dates, compared to if we were to actually talk events. So for example, on a typical Saturday in the summer, we would have Ben Brew in the morning. We would have maybe live music during the day on Monument Square. And then maybe it's another ladies night out at night or something. You know, all of those would only be considered one programmed date. Even though there's, say, three events in one day. But yes, 65 dates per year, we have something happening. They say that the most successful tourist-driven downtowns, I mean, we're talking the cream of the crop, you really need to aim for 150 to 200 programmed dates, which is hefty. Yes, and we're talking, I mean, these are communities where, but that's really like the ultimate goal. So every year we try to increase our programming, and we've been able to successfully do that. We've probably had about since 2017, when I came on, I started making quite a few changes and just revamping things. So we've probably increased by 20% every year. as far as program dates. And that's going to continue to happen. We've got to keep striving towards that ultimate goal.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. How are these run? I mean, and maybe it's a good time to talk about staffing and volunteers at this point.
Yeah, so the DRC itself runs 65 program dates per year, but actually in the downtown, we're at about 100 to 110 program dates per year based on what other organizations also bring to the downtown, right?
Okay.
So we track all of that. But yeah, so as a downtown, we're at over 100, around 100. As far as working those events, yeah, we have, we work really hard.
Sounds like it.
we really do have a skeletal staff. It's just two full-time people and then three part-time employees here. And then in the summers, we try to beef that up a little bit with those ambassadors helping us out. So we're just trying to be efficient. Of course, volunteers are always needed when it comes to the parades and party on the pavement and some of those large-scale events. We always utilize volunteers.
And that's something where you probably get some volunteers who come back every year for XYZ event, I would imagine.
Yes, especially like with the parades and learning how to stage a parade. Those are all things sort of we forget about when you go enjoy a parade, right?
Right.
You know, where do you get all these 100 vehicles parked and coming out at a certain time, and how,
oh my
you
gosh.
Know, all of those, yeah. There's a lot. So a lot of those volunteers are the same. Same thing with party on the pavement. There's specific tasks that need to be done. And it's, we get a lot of the same ones helping out every year because it's familiar to them and people feel more comfortable volunteering with things that they're familiar with, as you can imagine, you know.
Do you have volunteer committees for each one of these major events that you mentioned? So that committee really does a lot of the planning and work and reports to you on that. How does that work?
Actually, you know, we used to have planning committees, but it just works better, at least for me, to just not to have too many cooks in the kitchen, so to say. So we've come up with a really good internal process of what needs to get done by what date, who's responsible for that. And so every year we just get more and more detailed that way. And it eliminates the need for a lot of meetings. And so we're kind of like a well-oiled machine.
It does sound that way. Oh, excellent. Excellent job. Let's go back to, we talked some about events, and I do want to talk, well, by the end of the interview, we'll promote the next set of events and also talk, well, I guess as transition, why don't we talk about the State of Downtown Address, because that's coming up at the end of January. And maybe you can tell me of the types of things that will be covered in that address. And then that can take us back to talking a little bit more about economic development and how you work with other organizations to get those storefronts used.
Sure, yeah.
State of the Downtown Address.
Yeah, so the State of a Downtown Address and Achievement Awards is Wednesday, January 26th. It'll be at the Red Onion. And it's a really at 5:30 p.m. It's a really robust presentation of, well, you guessed it, the state of our downtown. I do this every year. And it's pretty eye-opening. It's chocked full. We go over in depth of all of our business development efforts. What have we done? You know, what have we done to help our businesses? And then we actually say, well, how many businesses have started their business in 2021? How many have closed? What does that look like compared to the last 5 years? So we go into depth of that. We talk a little bit about the marketing and how we're utilizing our marketing dollars. How are we diversified? What radio stations we use, TV appearances, targeted campaigns to Northern Illinois. And we kind of delve into some of the bread and butter of all the results of those. In addition, we talk about the events and we really go into depth on some of those, specifically highlighting new ones and also ones that we've done surveys for or able to do economic impacts for. And so, you know, for example, let's say the Beer and Bacon Walk. It's a pretty in its infancy, this event. It's only done it, I think, 2 years. And so we were able to figure out how much the average person spent while they were downtown, how many businesses they visited while they were down here, and really how much money was pumped into our downtown and to our small business owners because of that event. So that's really important to recognize. And then we go into some of our clean and safe initiatives, some of the things I talked about with how are we beautifying, what are we doing to maintain this beautiful downtown that we have, you know, what kind of stipulations does the city have in place to make sure that when people are doing facade renderings and updating facades, are we keeping it in context with the year of the building to make sure we don't have a hodgepodge of buildings? So we go into some of those and who received facade grants. And then as of the last 2 years, I've sort of added a section, and that's talking about how COVID has affected the downtown. What have we done to help and put resources in the hands of those small business owners and make our downtown still have a welcoming events and reasons for people to still come down, and what types of grants are available, how many grant letters I've written for businesses, who's received grants. And so I'll go into all of that as well. So again, it's pretty robust, but it's really, really interesting too.
Oh, it sounds that way. And while I know you can't give away all the information at this point, some of what you mentioned really is on, as you know, on the list of questions I wanted to ask. And let's talk a little bit about the openings and the closings of small businesses. That's always a situation, I think, in any downtown, and especially when you're talking about small business, it's hard work to keep a business open. So how has Racine been doing the last couple of years? Obviously the COVID years, but yeah. How are they doing?
Sure. So I can go just as a reference. So back in 2016, there was 9 new businesses that opened. So somewhat of a sluggish year. 17, 18, and 19 each had around 20 businesses that opened up their doors, with around 8 to 10 closings each of those years. Then when COVID hit in 2020, we saw only 10 businesses open up their door, and unfortunately 9 that closed. So it was a net of 1, which is it's really tough. You know, you really want to see growth in your downtown. The obvious churn is going to happen because these are small business owners. Often, you know, restaurants have the highest turnover, right? Because small business retail, again, extremely difficult. And so we expect that obviously our goal is to, how do we support them so this doesn't happen? How do we decrease that percentage of churn? And so then 2021 came along, and I believe it has to do with quite a few different things. Number one, you know, all of a sudden these safe, secure corporate jobs didn't feel so secure, right? A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people had to work from home doing things, something that they didn't love anyway. So now being isolated at home, doing a job maybe your heart wasn't in, got them to think like, wow, I really want to open that brick and mortar that I've always dreamed about. So I think some of that had to do with it. And then there were several different grant opportunities to give people that sort of jumping off point. So with that, 2021 saw 33 new businesses open.
Wow.
Great. And then we had 10 closings. So think about that difference of a, you know, 23 business net gain is really phenomenal coming off of a year of just one net. So that's been great.
Oh, exciting.
It is. It's like, you know, and it's not, everyone's going to say, I'm sure everyone listening is saying, well, it doesn't seem like it, right? I don't know. I didn't really notice that many. Well, you got to think it's over 12 months. So if you haven't been downtown in a while, you probably just haven't noticed it. A lot too of these businesses that opened up are small, either beauty or office type businesses. Now, the importance of those though are because if you look at, you know, the Badger building downtown or the building on 6th and Main above Dewey's, you see how, or Monument Square building. A lot of those buildings, you know, second, third, fourth floor, just completely empty for years. It was just really hard to get people to to utilize those office spaces. And now those are really getting filled up, and which is great because, you know, we do need to fill those up. We need to have that density. When people are working downtown, they're more likely to grab lunch downtown, spend time downtown. You know, they're going to go where they're familiar. All the employees are going to be pumping money into downtown. So it's a great win. You know, just because you think new business, we automatically think retail or restaurant. That's just our human nature. But and we did get a good number of those as well. But there are a lot of, you know, 2 to 5 person businesses that started.
You know, I think what you brought up is an excellent point, because you're right. When I see a new business open up and I go, oh, it's a mortgage lender. Yay. You know, it's not something that I'm going to go to, but you're right. It really, it's what helps draw new restaurants and new retail that I might consider to be a more fun business for myself to get to. And you're right. You have to celebrate both. And it also helps drive interest in housing in the downtown area, I would think, right?
Yeah, everything goes hand in hand. Absolutely. And, you know, you think about the sort of the devastating effects on restaurants during this COVID, because now all of a sudden, when you have the entire Johnson building working from home, CNH employees working from home, I mean, that was an influx of thousands of people that potentially would, you know, stay out after work and, you know, grab a bite or go out for lunch and or run to the pharmacy and grab some. I mean, all of those little things that on a daily basis were just disappearing all at once. And we're seeing that, obviously, an influx of that again. So having more small businesses, it just diversifies us, and there's always strength in diversifying.
The small businesses that you have there, how have they weathered COVID? Did they get a little bit more creative, perhaps, in the types of things that a way of doing business that help them stay in business and keep those shop fronts occupied?
Yeah, some got really creative, some diversified and added more of an online presence. Immediately when COVID hit, one of the first things we did was reached out to all of the businesses and said, hey, are you going to be offering curbside delivery, curbside pickup? Will you deliver to people's houses? And we came up with a comprehensive list of about 60 some businesses, but clearly stated, even though, you know, when non-essential businesses had to close, their doors had to be locked, we created a great resource where people could say, our doors are shut, but, you know, call us, check out our website, message us on Facebook. A lot of Facebook Live sales, I saw a really big influx of those, which are great. And that worked out well. So they would bring the items right out to their car, delivery. Immediately, one of the things we did was, because it started being spring and summer, we added all of those tables onto Monument Square. You'll see there's about 18 beautiful tables that we put out now to encourage people to do outdoor dining. We immediately put together a map of all of the restaurants that highlighted all of the outdoor dining opportunities. So a lot of people, you know, when you think about outdoor dining, you might go, oh yeah, let's go to Reef Point, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you think of the bigger ones. Well, how about Dewey's? They've got great outdoor seating. Ivanhoe, they've got a couple of cute tables out there. So it just sort of opened people's eyes to, when you think of outdoor dining in Racine, especially downtown, some of these smaller businesses, specifically because those smaller businesses, when you're limiting to a percentage that you can be in your building at any time, well, it's already such small square footage. So some of them had to be down to, you know, under 10 people. Sort of hard to, it's almost not worth being open unless you had that outdoor availability for a while there. So we did that. The tables are great. We started doing, we made curbside like signage for all the stores as well. We added hand sanitizing stations throughout the downtown area. We also worked closely with the city, and they were great to work with. And we got all of the sidewalk cafe licenses fees waived and rushed. So that was sometimes can be a heftier licensing fee that some of the smaller restaurants just didn't want to pay a couple hundred dollars to do, but we were able to do that. We also get the sidewalk curtilage fees waived, which allowed businesses to then be able to put merchandise on the sidewalk. So we rushed and waived all of those that wanted to take advantage of that.
Excellent.
So it was really just the community coming together. And then we can talk about a couple of the different grants, obviously, that some of the businesses were able to utilize as well.
Well, let's segue right into recovery and talk about, if we can call it recovery right now with everything going crazy again with COVID, but grants, and then also talk a little bit about the problem that so many businesses are having right now with getting enough employees to stay in business and or at least capacity of their business. But first, let's talk about the grants, recovery grants.
Sure. So immediately when COVID hit, the city of Racine put together, used some of these what they call START grant funds, which are typically had been used. They're all the room tax dollars from the city of Racine hotels. So these do have to be used specifically. Well, they were able to have an application process, and they awarded, I believe, around 14 businesses downtown, fairly hefty grants, as well as they did some in West Racine and uptown too. But I think it was around 14 of the businesses received the grant for downtown Racine. And then they did a second wave where they were able to release more money, and they did they did a lot more smaller grants, so $2,000 to $4,000 grants. So quite a few businesses did get that. Obviously the PPP loan, quite a few businesses, we helped people with that process. And so quite a few of the businesses were able to take advantage of the PPP. And then the second round of PPP came in, obviously. And then in June of this last year, we had WEDC announce this vacant building grant program. And that's really where you're starting to see a lot of these small startups opening.
Let's talk about that grant. I have to say, this is the first I've heard of that one in particular.
Yeah, so this is anybody who starts a lease, purchases to start a business or signs a lease starting January 1st. So it did backdate a little, even though it was announced in June, through June of 2022 here. So we do have a couple more months of this. And if they are successfully awarded, they will get a $10,000 grant, which can be used towards helping them pay the rent or for merchandise. They didn't put too many restrictions on how people can use those grants. So part of that application process does require a letter from me, just double checking all of the information, meeting with the business, meeting with the landlord as well. And so right now I've submitted close to 30 grant letters for 30 different businesses. As of October was the last update. We should be getting a new one soon, but 15 businesses in the downtown have received that $10,000 grant. And quite a few are still about to hear. We should know soon. So that's that, you know, that really helps when you're trying to start a new business and you're scared to death and you've always wanted to take that leap. This was a nice security blanket.
And getting back to that number you mentioned of 33 new businesses, I would imagine a portion of that included those 15 that you've received so far?
Yes. Yep. All of them did because they all had to.
That's so
new. Yeah. New business. That's been some great resources. We are continuing to encourage. We've been working with the landlords of these buildings as well so that they make sure that all of their new tenants are aware of it. So a lot of this is just about transparency, communication, making sure we're all, you know, in the know and helping each other out. So that's been really great.
So now we have businesses opening and you see it everywhere when you're driving around any city is hiring, need workers. and you're hearing restaurants that are going down to partial capacity because they can't get enough employees to serve. Are you seeing that in downtown Racine as well? And how are you addressing that?
Yes, so definitely we're seeing that. One of the things we did this past year was just a survey of the merchants and just asking them what are their challenges, or what are they finding success in? What events do they find actually lead to greater sales? How can we be more supportive? What resources could we provide that maybe we're not at right now? And the major concern was having employees. So that, all of a sudden, okay, yeah, we're back at full capacity. We're doing good. We've got some grant money. We're on the right track. And then now we've got this crushing feeling like nobody wants to work. Nobody's coming in. And, especially these restaurants, well, who wants to come in at a server wage? And then nobody's really going to the restaurants because
a COVID thing.
Yeah. Especially in the winter months, everyone has their own comfort level. Yeah. So that has been a huge challenge. One thing we've been really focusing on is reaching out to the businesses. Finding out who's hiring. We have an updated page on our website that just says downtown job openings. So that's always up to date. It lets you know who's hiring in the downtown areas because some people just like that vibe. And so that's constantly updated. And then we promote that. We've promoted it multiple times and we do it strategically, but we've had nearly 60 views, over 100 clicks just from a couple of social media posts, email blasts. People are saying, oh, thank you for posting this job. We got it filled. So we've been just really trying to be proactive and it seems to be working. I mean, it's still always going to be a challenge. We're going to continue this effort. This is not something that we're going to stop even when COVID is a thing of the past. We're going to continue to be that support system. And it's nice that they have an easy and a free way that they can post their jobs. If somebody's already following downtown Racine on their social media, they obviously have an interest or they like downtown Racine. So you've already got this captive audience. And now you're saying, hey, look at all these different places you could work in downtown Racine. Well, that might be a little bit more intriguing than someone saying, well, you want to go work at this factory, I mean, whatever it is. maybe it's their favorite restaurant that they've always loved to eat at. Oh, yeah, I could be a bartender there. I wouldn't mind serving there. Or maybe a favorite retail shop that they shop at, So it's really kind of put everything, it's like putting the information and giving it to the right people rather than everybody and nobody's really interested. So it's really nice that seems to be working. So
sounds excellent. Yes, I can see just having that targeted job posting would be a really good approach. So let's talk about what's coming next. Both on the development side, you mentioned you had other grant letters out there. I know you can't really talk about businesses until they're real, but what do you see as the trend for businesses coming into downtown?
I would say, the trend continues to be, that one trend that I did mention before is a lot more office, service industries, and so that continues to be a trend. We're really getting down there in stock when it comes to a first floor retail and restaurant white boxed buildings, and so that's actually becoming more and more of a challenge, which is a great problem to have. But I think that's one of the reasons why we are seeing more of the office space types of businesses starting, because just to try to find a space, let's say you want to start a restaurant, well, you've got to have location in downtown, so you're going to want to be in a great centrally located something that either has ventilation for a commercial kitchen or can easily be added without $30,000-$40,000 worth of ductwork and all of that behind it, or retail spots that have enough square footage but that are also don't require, again, new flooring, new, tons of updates just to get it presentable. So one reason for this too is interesting to note, and this is a program that actually sunset in December of 2020, but it was live. It was called the White Box Grant through the city. And this was really phenomenal. This is, it really addressed, it was a matching grant for buildings in the downtown area that were of a certain age and that needed either plumbing, electrical, or heating work done. So it really addressed the guts of these older buildings, because a lot of them were staying empty because, you know, if it's going to cost $30 to put $30,000 to get HVAC and plumbing up to code, some of these building owners were just sort of sitting on them for a long time. And this really prompted them to take advantage of it. Now, this program was also for the, all of sit down, all of the city of Racine, so uptown and those, but of those grants that got awarded, it ended up being about 85% of them were downtown buildings. So really the downtown buildings, the owners of those really took advantage of that grant. And so that's been, that was a really great booster where we, you'll, that's why you have seen a lot more retail last year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The one program that is still live, which has also been a godsend for our downtown, and one reason I think that our downtown is architecturally one of the most beautiful in the entire state, is the city offers a facade grant. It's an up to $10,000 matching facade grant to address just that, you know, making sure that the exterior of that building has the curb appeal and also sticks with the architectural guidelines of the year the building was made. So we're not doing super modern enhancements to these beautiful old buildings.
Yes.
So that one's still live, and almost all of the, you know, we really promote that because we want people to invest in that, the facade, obviously. It helps everybody. It's a win for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, because if you happen to be next to a business that hasn't updated their facade, it hurts your business, you know, and it's just a, so, but yeah, next time you go downtown, I encourage people to really look at how beautiful all of our buildings are. They are just gorgeous.
I do love the architecture. It is very pretty. It feels like you almost described, where it's got some old feeling to it, because in fact, most of the buildings were from, you know, early part of last century. Mm-hmm. There's a feeling about it. It's been modernized to the point of just keeping it clean and pretty and alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who are interested in architecture and the history of these buildings, we do have a architectural historical walking tour that's self-guided. You can throw it on your phone. It's even got audio. And that's right on our website. If you go onto the tab, Delve into Downtown History, that's a really cool, we have one for Main Street and one for 6th Street. So if you're ever just walking around maybe this summer and you like a building, you can just, you know, pull that up on your phone and hear about it or read about it. And it's quite interesting. A lot of it has to do with, you know, the big fire that happened in downtown and how buildings either recovered or rebuilt and all of that.
Very cool. I was not aware of that, and I'm going to do that. So we're about out of time, Kelly, and you're doing amazing work there. I'm so impressed. We have been talking with Kelly Cruz, who is the executive director of the Downtown Racine Corporation and also the head of the Downtown Bid District. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking with you.
And you've been listening to Community Matters, and I'm Jane Herring.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
To send an online request, otherwise call Listener Services. It's a toll-free number, 800-747-7444. Coming up next, it's the Metropolitan Opera's performance of The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart. I'll be back, as it ends, pretty close to 3:30 or a little thereafter. And then it's Weekend All Things Considered from NPR beginning at 4 o'clock sharp. Have a good weekend and stay safe.
Classical music in concert is always a pleasure, even more so when the music is not only live, but local. Enjoy recorded performances of Wisconsin classical musicians, Sunday at 1 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Wollersheim Winery and Distillery, featuring a port wine celebration on Saturday, January 29th. Light food, live music, and port wine. More information is at Wollersheim.com.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.